T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ryan Clark, a Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, and now, for my money, the best analyst on TV. Breaking down tape, giving big takes, usually spot on, if not always spot on. And back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Ryan, the Steelers tackling awful. They've given up more 20-yard runs than any team in the entire NFL, a far cry from the defense you played on back in the day here. What the hell is going on with the Steelers' defense?
Strange to watch Detroit, who has a quarterback who's probably as good as I am at throwing the football, and I'm not very good, guys, and to allow them to use their run game to their advantage like that, you know. And watching that game, I felt like no one deserved to win it. It deserved, and it should have ended up in the tie because nobody played good football. I think it's a strange deal when you think about a guy like a Cam Hayward, obviously TJ. Gets banged up, you know, Devin Bush, a high draft pick. You should be able to stop the run, especially against a team that you know is largely one-dimensional. And, you know, I'm sure Keith Butler and Coach Tomlin had those guys prepped for that, but you got to go out and execute. You have to go out and be physical. And when you look at the physicality of this game, the Detroit Lions really took it to them. The Detroit Lions, from an upfront perspective, played the football game much in the manner in which their coaches, you know, they were aggressive, they were fearless, they were all out effort, and they truly dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers defensively, physically, and that's just not something we're used to seeing. And there's no way for this team to be good, for this team to compete for the playoffs or in the playoffs if they can't stop the run, if this defense isn't dominant. And I don't care if it's Mason Rudolph. If it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, whatever Rudolph you want playing quarterback, you're supposed to beat the Detroit Lions.
Ryan, what do you make of this? One of Mike Tomlin's, not like an excuse, but one of his explanations was that Dan Campbell called the plays for their offense. I'm going to ask you this if it passes the smell test at all. He said, Dan Campbell called the plays. We weren't prepared for that. Basically, it threw our defense for a loop that Dan Campbell suddenly called the plays when we weren't expecting him to. Is that something that can have an actual impact on a game to that degree?
So here's why it can have an impact. No, you still got to go out and play, right? It doesn't matter if it's Anthony Lynn calling the plays or Dan Campbell. You still got to go out and execute. The reason we were really good when I played, and obviously they were good before I got there too, was the communication, you know, the type of studying we did. There were 6-7 plays a game where I knew exactly where the ball was going. There were the same amount that Troy knew the same thing. And we were able to communicate this through everybody because of tips and tendencies, because play callers have a kind of a flow, right? Play callers have a vibe. And so when that vibe is changed, it is difficult, right? Because now different things can come from different formations, or different play calls can happen at different times, at different field positions. Like, all those things are true. And when we go back to it, you know, it still was a professional football team that had 4-plus quarters and couldn't score 20 points on the Steelers. But still in that, you know, I think that it does present a problem, but not a problem to where you should be getting gashed by the run play in, play out. This isn't one of those things to where, you know, they've come up with a whole new passing concept and passing routes and formations to get you beat on the back end. Like, this is just beat your blocker and make a tackle.
Ryan Clark here on 93.7 The Fan. What do you see when you put on the tape and watch Devin Bush play?
You know, I don't see a lot, which is probably the bad part. You know, he's not, you know, he's not showing up. Some of that sideline to sideline that we thought we'd get, you aren't getting from Devin. And I think the other thing is the lack of physicality, the lack of being able to shed and get off of blockers shows when we see linemen get to the second level. And I think on the other end of that, you aren't getting the great pass coverage or the great effect in the pass game that you expect to get from a guy of his athletic measurables. And so, you know, Devin's underachieving right now. And when there's a player in your defense who underachieves, now it's okay to underachieve, but it's not okay to not play well. He's not playing well. And I think that hurts the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. When this team is strong, you know, this team is strong at the nose tackle or the defensive tackle. This team is strong at the middle linebacker. And this team is obviously strong down the middle with safeties. And I think Minkah is playing really well. But with Devin not playing as well, we're having to see Minkah show up more than in the run. And, you know, then you get that ball that pops on him. And those tackles are difficult to make throughout the entire game.
Ryan, what were the rules on, like, physicality and hitting in practice during the majority of your time in the league? Like, when did the league change it so that there was not nearly as much hitting during the week?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty late in my career. I can't remember exactly what year. I would say it had to start, you know, 2010, 2011, when we were getting a new CBA. I would guess that that's probably around the time that those things started. So until then, you know, you could tackle and hit as much as you want. Most teams probably did it too much, but it definitely was a lot more than what we see now. And I think sometimes you see that affect the tackling in the games.
Do you think that's part of it with the Steelers, just knowing what their DNA has always been, and Mike Tomlin obviously coaching before some of those rules were put in place? Is that a big factor, you think?
You know, I don't necessarily know how big of a factor it is. I mean, because you can watch a team like Buffalo, and, you know, they tackle well. A team like Green Bay is tackling extremely well right now. Arizona probably has the two best tackling safeties in football, and they're both are very miniature-sized men. You know, tackling is about want to. Tackling is about putting yourself in those positions in practice and then just doing it. And so I don't necessarily – if the Pittsburgh Steelers were the only team that had to play under these rules, then I would see it differently. But this is what everybody – this is what everyone does now. And Pittsburgh is still not a bad tackling football team. I think they tackle really well from a secondary perspective. I think Joe is a good tackler. I think you see, you know, Cam tackle well. Pierre comes up with a huge tackle late in the game. And I think it's just interior, we aren't used to seeing teams be more physical than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's more about beating blocks, shedding blocks, inverting the line of scrimmage, having downhill physicality and tackling, and we aren't necessarily seeing that from. But I also think that goes to, like, the people you have. You know, I can only speak of my time there. Lawrence Timmons would legitimately run his face through the front of a tank, you know. James Ferrier had a rule, like, he's never hitting anybody below the chin. Like, those are different. Like, these dudes had different mindsets. When you go and draft people who it's more about, oh, look how fast they are, look how they can run, I think that kind of changes the tempo and the mood of your team. And this team defensively is a little more pretty than what we're used to seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, Joe Schobert to that end said, we need to practice seriously. And I just heard that and I wondered, well, is this because they're playing the Lions who are winless and maybe they're not taking the game prep for the Lions the same way they would the Ravens? I don't know. That was kind of a puzzling comment for a guy who was new to this team to make about practice habits. And I don't know, Ryan, like, to the naked eye, if I was showing up to practice every day, would I be able to tell the difference between days where you guys took practice seriously and maybe didn't?
You definitely couldn't tell with me and Troy, because we practice like some slobs every day. To be honest, like, we, especially once we got a little older, like, you can only make your body do what we tried to make our bodies do on the weekend, like, one day a week.
Yeah.
And you basically spent the rest of the week recovering from that. Where we were extremely focused was on communication, was on film study, was on understanding alignment and assignment and being in the right position. But I'd be lying to you if I told you I ran 100% ever during the week, because I didn't have it. you know. And but Joe's a veteran. Joe has seen veteran teams practice. I think he understands that part as well. So I'm not sure if he's talking more about the mentality of the practice, if he's talking more about, you know, the communication between players. I'm not, you know, I haven't been on the practice field.
Sure.
So I can't speak to what Joe is speaking to. And so if he feels like, you know, that's a thing, then maybe it is. And maybe that's something he can impart to the team.
Ryan, you know, there's obviously the question of which quarterback's going to play for the Steelers. If Ben gets cleared in time, it'll be him, but and they'll leave the light on, all that stuff. But right now it could be Mason Rudolph. I want to know what you think when you pop the film on the guy they're going to be going against, Justin Herbert, and what that dude does to stress a defense.
Yeah, you know, Justin Herbert is ultimately talented. I mean, just extremely talented. Justin Herbert is playing on a team that seems to have forgotten how to coach him, and that isn't really coaching him. You know, this is a dude like Jimmy Garoppolo averages more yards per attempt than Justin Herbert.
Damn.
Like that ain't supposed to happen. You know what I mean? Like he's 29th. And this is a dude that has, you know, the bazooka that Arnold Schwarzenegger had on Commando attached to his shoulder. And so, you know, I think, you know, this team is trying to find its way. This is also a team that puts him in a ton of bad third down situations and is just like, okay, Justin, go get us out of this. And so if you watch this team early on in the season, they play Washington. They're excellent on third down. And you're kind of astonished they could be so good. But this is at the point where we thought Washington was going to be a good defense first game of the season, right? And then you get later on in the season, you see them against Baltimore and those same situations get taken advantage of. You see them against New England Patriots in those same situations we get taken advantage of. And then you watch this team get beat by the Minnesota Vikings, who's probably a better team than what their record says. But still, you're like, okay, where's this guy that we were talking about having the possibility of being the league MVP? That's his future, like this year. And I think he's being mishandled a bit in this offense. I think Mike Williams isn't stepping up as much as he was early on in the season or as much as they need him to in order for this team to be great. And they got rid of a speed guy and released him who only did that, who was able to push the ball down the field and take the tops off some coverages. And so I think Justin Herbert is not playing at the top level of his game, but it's not strictly based on him. The other scary part is if you don't do the right thing, if you sit back in zone and you give this dude time, he's going to carve you up. And so it's going to be about the Steelers putting pressure on him, Keith Butler calling a game that makes sure he doesn't know what you're in before the snap, and that he has to figure it out in the drop, and there's pressure coming. Because if there's not, then, man, you SOL, bro.
The Mike Tomlin said that they're going to build a plan for Mason Rudolph, that they're going to get together, I guess, and, you know, the smartest minds in the room are going to come up with a plan for Mason Rudolph. So in Ryan Clark's opinion, what is the offensive game plan that accentuates and brings out the positive traits in Mason Rudolph?
Run it as much as you possibly can so he don't have to throw it. That would be a way to accentuate his positive traits. I think when we watch Mason come out of Oklahoma State, which I think he was graded high for a lot of people, he pushed the football down the field. I think when you have a guy like Mason Rudolph, you have to take shots. You can't ask him play in and play out to go through progressions, to find correct matchups, to find holes in the zones. You got to give him some easy throws, and those throws are the same throws that got him and James Washington drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think the other thing is, though, when you have a guy like Freiermuth, who I think is a probable star in this league at his position, you catch the ball in overtime, you might want to hold it. Mm-hmm. When Deontay Johnson, who hasn't had drops this season, who hasn't had issues handling the ball, catches the slant, like, he has to hold it. You know what I mean? And these are or catches the football down the sideline. Like, you got to keep those footballs. And I think that's how you help Mason Rudolph. The plan wasn't necessarily awful as to where the execution wasn't great. And so I think it starts with Najee. It starts with this offensive line that seems to be gelling. And then it moves into the play-action pass where you take some shots. Instead of making Mason Rudolph have a 10-play drive, why don't you let him have a 3-play drive or a 2-play drive, or hell, 1 if you can, where you take a shot, get some chunk yardage, and then now you can allow Najee and some of those skill players on the outside to work.
How much harder are those chunk shots to hit, though, in the pros than in college? Like, that's – when you say all this, it sounds good, and then I think, yeah, but, like, it looked a lot easier for Mason and for James Washington when they were going against Pitt's defensive backs 5 years ago or something. Like, these – against the big boys, it just – it looks tougher.
I mean, it is tougher. I mean, if it were easy, then everybody would be a great quarterback, you know? But I think much like when Ben Roethlisberger is playing, like, you're going to need 3 or 4 big-time catches from your skill players. And we got that from our skill players 2 weeks ago. We didn't get it really last week. And there's going to have to be some 50-50 balls that dudes just go up and eat, that dudes just go up and get, where they outplay the man that's next to them, where they use their athleticism, their skill level to make plays in tough situations. It can't be, hey, Mason Rudolph, a dude who didn't show us enough that we were able to get rid of Ben Roethlisberger this offseason, go now be something different than you are. No, but you know what you can do? You can push a football down the field, give a guy a chance in a 50-50 opportunity to catch it. Now they got to go get it. If you love Chase Claypool so much, if you love Deontay Johnson so much, if you think James Washington is a great deep ball threat, then use them. Mm-hmm. Allow them in one-on-one situations to make plays, because people are going to stack the box now because they actually try to run it in Matt Canada's offense. Now, outside, when you get a one-on-one, take a shot on first down. What's it going to hurt? If you don't get it, you come and you try to get 5 and 5 and get a first down and 3 downs. Like, I think they have to understand this isn't a game where they can just, as the old saying goes, matriculate the football down the field all the time. They're going to have to get some yardage where it's easier for mm-hmm. their quarterback.
Well, the problem with that matriculate the ball down the field thing is I think Matt Canada's confused. He thinks down the field is the width of the field and not the length. Ryan, he thinks you've got to throw it sideways instead of forward.
Hey, man, you know, listen, I actually like Matt Canada, right, when he was at LSU.
Okay.
I loved going over to talk to him. Also liked Cam Cameron when he was here. I enjoy talking to these offensive minds here. You know who didn't like Matt Canada here? Everybody else. They hated the sideways, the jet sweep motion, the action, this and that. And I feel like some weeks it works in the sense that he gets runs downhill because he's stressing the defense laterally. He just has to get the pass game going linear as well. And I think sometimes he's on it and sometimes he's dialed in. And then other times he kind of reverts back to what he did at Pitt. And I think he just has to stay on his communication with his quarterback that we want to continue to push the ball, especially with a guy like Mason Rudolph who does have a lively arm.
I want you to just clarify something that you tweeted about earlier. You said, note to self, do not watch the Spartacus TV series on the plane next to older or younger people.
Yeah, man. So I've seen Spartacus already. But what happens is, like, when nothing new is out and I'm traveling, I'll just get something that I used to like because I pretty much forget what happened in it anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, as Spartacus starts and I'm sitting next to this older gentleman, like really older gentleman, and, you know, when people don't have their own iPads, they just look at yours. It's like a habit. It's like a thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They can't even hear it. Like one kid watched an entire movie with me, and it was like I might have watched a cartoon movie, so it was cool. I turned it to him so he could see it. And so Spartacus just starts off. You know, Spartacus talking to his wife, and he's about to leave and take a trip to go fight. And she's like, "Well, bro, if this your last night, I'm gonna take advantage of it." And I'm not paying attention because we haven't taken off yet. And Spartacus and his wife are just going at it, bro. And so then, like, I finally look at my screen, and I look at the man next to me, and his eyes are big as hell. But then I have to remember, too, like, there's probably, like, other people around me watching Spartacus just go to town right now. And, and so I was watching it again when I was on the elliptical, cause right before your guys called me, and somebody else walked by me, and it just made me remember I probably shouldn't watch Spartacus in public.
You're a man of good taste, though, with shows or movies, because, like, everyone else says when they talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, they go, oh, Terminator, oh, Predator, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Only real Arnold fans are going to cite the movie Commando.
I've never seen any of those movies.
Here's the plot of Commando. Someone steals Arnold's daughter. He goes and basically kills and blows up an entire island full of bad guys by himself. It's perfect.
By himself, bro. By himself. And so here was the crazy thing about Commando, dog, that I thought was, like, so weird. After Arnold blows up this whole island of bad dudes, right?
Yep.
The guy, he's like, this is Arnold, right? Post Mr. Olympia, whatever it is.
I know exactly where this is going, and I cannot wait.
Like, the dude he's fighting is built like a swoosh donut, though. You know what I mean? Like, why isn't Arnold fighting, like, some dude that looks like Arnold? Like, he's fighting a dude who looks like some dude cooking at Nakama. You know what I mean? And I just didn't... Like, I could never understand that. Like, we're going to beat up this whole, like, this is the baddest man in the world. This is the man who we sent to take former Mr. Olympia, now obviously super army dude's child. That's not even real life. That doesn't even happen. But this is what used to always happen. Freaking Rambo, he took over a whole city, his first on Rambo First Blood, and then he fought whole wars by himself. But I'm sorry, I'm going on a...
Do you honestly... No, like Ryan, I mean, do you want to know what the guy... I'll just say it, because Pony's not going to watch Commando. Bennett, who he fights at the end with the chainmail and the leather, I'm looking at it to make sure I wasn't crazy. He looks like one of the original Village People members as far as the get-up, and he's got about as... and he's got about as much muscle tone.
That's a good one. Oh, man.
Hey, Pony, it was bad, bro. It was bad.
I'll have to go look that up. All right, Ryan, safe travels and great stuff again today. We love it. Thank you.
Oh, man, have a good one, bro.
There you go.
I cannot. Wow. I was, dude, I got way more hyped when he dropped a Commando reference than almost anything else.
You should have seen the Cheshire Cat smile on Craig Riley's face when Ryan Clark said the following about Devin Bush. I don't see a lot. There's a lack of physicality. He can't get off blockers. You're not getting the great effect in the passing game.
He called him he said he was underachieving.
Devin is underachieving right now.
But he also said you can underachieve, but you can't play poorly, basically, right? And the problem is he's playing flat out poorly.
Mm.
You
could other than those things, phenomenal linebacker. Yes.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.